Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Race for a Vaccine, reading from New Scientist, 21st of March. This is by Carrie Arnold. With the coronavirus pandemic getting worse, we are turning to new techniques to deliver vaccines in record time. Can it be done? Asked Carrie Arnold. Pottering around her kitchen on the morning of 31st December, Kate Broderick scrolled through the headlines while she waited for her cup of tea to brew. One story caught her eye, a mysterious outbreak of severe pneumonia in Wuhan, China. Nearly overnight, the number of cases seemed to explode. Quote, I knew we didn't have time to wait, she says. A molecular geneticist in Enviro Pharmaceuticals in California. Broderick was poised for what came next when the Chinese official published the genetic sequence of the new SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus, causing the illness just 2 weeks after the first cases were reported to the World Health Organization. Broderick got to work. Within 3 hours, her team had a prototype vaccine ready for initial testing. It was an unprecedented turnaround, but a moment Broderick and many others had long seen coming. Making vaccines usually takes a decade or more between development, safety, testing, manufacturing, says Seth Berkley, head of Gavi, the international group that promotes vaccines use around the world. With the global confirmed cases of the new disease COVID surging past 180,000, it's now over 500,000, as this went to press, time is of the essence. To speed things up, scientists are turning to untested classes of vaccines and rethinking every part of how they are designed, evaluated and manufactured. If the approach works, we'll for the first time have identified a new disease and developed a vaccine against it while the initial outbreak is still ongoing. It's the first time. But the speed can come with downsides. Quote, we could have a vaccine in 3 weeks, but we can't guarantee its safety or efficacy, says Gary Cobigna, a virologist at the Laval University in Canada. The hope is to have at least 1 million doses of coronavirus vaccine available to the public health in 12 to 18 months, according to Melanie Salville. She is head of the vaccine development and research at the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, CEPI, set up in 2017 with funding for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust and several governments. Until now, the fastest we have ever cranked out a vaccine in response to an outbreak was with Ebola. And that took 5 years, said Berkeley. 18 months to make a new vaccine widely available is naively optimistic, said Goblin. It isn't impossible, but it may mean moving up the rule book. All vaccines would work by tricking the body into believing it is exposed to a pathogen. This causes the immune system to respond with antibodies and T cells to neutralize or kill the infected. Antibodies are things which identify a cell, and T cells actually eat up cells. Afterwards, with some of these remaining circulations ready for action in the case you are exposed to the actual infection, in other words, your immune system is. The more closely a vaccine mimics the disease, the more protection it will provide. We currently have four main strategies for pulling off this trick. Live attenuated viruses use actual viruses or bacteria that have been altered to prompt an immune response but not full-blown illness. Inactivated vaccines are exactly what they sound like. They are made by growing huge amounts of pathogens in bats, which are then deactivated or killed with the heat of the chemical. Both these strategies are used as flu vaccines, for instance. A third variety, toxoid vaccines, are used against bacteria, which obviously not used, that cause disease indirectly, producing toxins. In this case, tetanus, diphtheria, botulism. They contain a piece of the toxin that readies the body's immune response to the real full thing. Lastly, subunit vaccines contain just small pieces of the pathogen that activate the immune system. such as polysaccharides, sugars, proteins, or combinations of these, called conjugates. These subunits are made by producing the right sugars and proteins in large vats using engineered bacteria or yeast, then painstakingly removing the impurities. These key vaccine types have been around for decades and have been established safety record, but it still can take up to 15 years to go from prototype to general use, as Berkman. Quote, see how to make a vaccine step by step, page 46. Two main factors are behind the long development times. Historically, scientists have spent years studying how a pathogen interacts with the body and the immune systems before developing a vaccine, and fewer than one in four candidates' vaccines that start clinical trials make it through the whole process and get licensed for use, he says. A head start. In principle, the tried and tested nature of these approaches should give them an advantage in the sprint to develop a vaccine against the new coronavirus, says Maria Bassani of Baylor College in Medicine, Texas. While the vaccine types take years to develop, they establish a safety profile, would mean fewer, shorter trials in people. And getting out of the starting blocks has become easy. New approaches to vaccine development allow us to dramatically shorten the first step of the process. For the new coronavirus, researchers like Anita Group and co-founder of the biotech company EpiVax in Rhode Island use computational models that can jump directly from genetic sequence to potential vaccines by zooming in on parts of the virus that could be good for vaccine targets. As soon as the SARS-CoV-2 was sequenced, researchers at labs around the world were able to jump in and get good work figuring out what made the chicken hat fight it, scoring around infectious disease vaccine specialists. Like Invio, many had mock-ups of the proteins already within hours. Such advances have been a long time coming. Quote, it took us 21 years to be able to develop a vaccine in 3 hours, says De Groot. Matthew McKay at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology is one of those taking advantage of such leaps. He and his team looked at genetic similarities between the new virus and another earlier coronavirus that says up to 90% of its DNA, SARS-CoV, the one that caused SARS outbreak in 2003. Their work on SARS showed that human immune system responded most strongly to protein spikes that formed the crown of corona surrounding the virus and to the proteins that envelop its nucleus. McKay's team also found that one of the five of the sites that the immune system could recognize, known as the epitopes, were identical between the new corona and earlier SARS ones. His team published that work in February, This appears to be an important target for vaccines, says McKay. An independent lab published similar findings last week. The initial flurry of work has yielded at least 35 candidate vaccines, 6 backed by CEPI in the wake of early epidemics such as Ebola, MERS and SARS. CEPI was created to help us respond better and faster and having rapid response systems at the ready. Many of these use the well-established vaccine types, but hope to accelerate the usual timelines by streamlining each step in the process, most notably prototype development. For example, CEPI, funding a collaboration between EpiVax and University of Georgia to use the results of the company's computer modeling to genetically engineer a segment of virus into a subunit vaccine. Like the one for hepatitis B worldwide, Botsani's team in Baylor is developing a similar vaccine. Jessen, a pharmaceutical company owned by Johnson & Johnson, has begun work on a possible vaccine using harmless genetically engineered arenavirus. And that was the same strategy the firm used for Ebola. Another CEPI-funded initiative uses technology developed by researchers at the University of Queensland in Australia to stabilise the coronavirus protein subunit that would be used to vaccine and so improve its ability to generate immune response. The university already has a vaccine in animal trials, according to Saville. But the tried and tested vaccine types aren't the only game in town at this time. Invio, for example, aims for nucleic acids like RNA and DNA in its vaccine. Although neither DNA or messenger RNA, mRNA, which helps the body translate genes into proteins, can create the immune response directly, these vaccines get cells to make the proteins that will create the response. Instead of producing proteins in a factory, we're injecting RNA and letting your cells in the factory, says Payne, head of Aratus Therapeutics, one of the companies using the approach. My only problem is how to get the RNA into the cell. Because the cells are pretty good at ignoring RNA. That's what viruses are all about. You know, viruses have got the RNA all sewn up, so how are they going to do it? So RNA, DNA or mRNA enters a cell, the person's own protein's machinery takes over. DNA vaccines must be converted by cells into mRNA first, whereas mRNA allows you to skip that stage. Depending on the genetic code used, the resulting viral protein made in the body can be secreted from muscles or skin cells, displayed in the cell's membrane, or embedded in the membrane itself. These strategies trick the immune system to think the body has been invaded by a pathogen, which leads to the creation of T cells and antibodies. So the story goes. So far, no such vaccines have been approved. A major hurdle with these vaccines is getting the DNA or mRNA, the RNA, into cells, as our blood is filled with enzymes that chop these substances into bits within seconds. Each company pursuing this approach has developed its own technology to circumvent the problem. So your blood has actually got antiseptic, antiviral properties. Well, they just destroy, like, you just want to get rid of DNA, especially when you cut up a cell, explode the cell, it will pump out all its DNA, just on its DNA going around. So you've got a metre. If you knock out a cell, you've got a metre of DNA coming out. You can imagine it's basically goop. Okay, 1.8 metres of DNA. Firm called Moderna is developing a vaccine genetic material in a protective core, while Invero administers a tiny electrical current to the injection site to encourage the nearby cells to swallow the DNA whole. All three have said they will be able to rapidly scale up production. Moderna has already recruited people in Seattle for an early-stage clinical trial to test the safety. The trials, which include 45 healthy volunteers, began on 16th of March. Quote, "It's crazy, awesome speed beyond what we saw with Ebola," said Corbyn. The safety and efficacy of these new types of vaccines remain unknown. There are concerns that the DNA-based vaccines might affect our own genes and somehow spur harmful immune reactions. As of the 17th of March, none of the companies had released detailed data about the immune responses generated by animal models or any potential adverse events. Moderna is also taking its RNA-based vaccine, mRNA-1273, directly to human trials before completing standard toxicological animal testing. The firm is relying on safety testing already completed for other mRNA vaccines in development. Yet, with any new vaccines, there are concerns about something called immune enhancement. I think this is I'm Legend or something like that. This can happen when prior vaccination or infection inadvertently facilitates the virus's ability to enter cells and make copies of itself. It means instead of protecting you, the vaccine could make you more vulnerable to more severe infection. Harmful immune enhancement has been seen in early animal trials of SARS vaccine, in the human trials of the vaccine with the respiratory virus called RSV. Yeah, it can go different ways, can't it? These types of concerns and the track record of very few vaccines making it from clinical testing through to approval for use in humans are what makes lengthy clinical trials so necessary, says Johan van Hoff, head of the infectious disease and vaccines for Janssen. Older vaccine technologies have an advantage that they have already been vetted. Quote, "It gives you a certain level of comfort that you can use these older vaccines in emergencies and you can already have a solid safety database," he says. Striking the balance between speed and safety is always going to be a challenge. If a vaccine takes too long to develop, the initial outbreak may be over. which creates its own set of problems. For example, by the time the clinical trials of Ebola vaccine were underway during the large outbreak that began in the West Africa in 2014, disease transmission had slowed so much that researchers couldn't treat enough people to gather a robust data set for needed for regulatory approval. Only after a large outbreak and a bigger trial was there enough evidence to prove the safety and efficacy against, says Kabulia, who worked on the vaccine called Everbro. It was finally approved by the European Medicines Agency in November 2019. None of the vaccine candidates for Ebola has made it as far. The other candidates. The rest, says Greg Poland of the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, was stored in freezers, unable to find funding, metaphorically stored in freezers, I would say, to even begin testing. No SARS vaccine ever made it past phase one safety trials before the disease vanished and the funding dried up. Money is so critical to vaccine development. Scientists need to be assured of research funding. Science is not a spigot you can turn on and off. In part, it was a stark realisation during the West African Ebola outbreak that Big Pharma could no longer be relied upon to solely underwrite expensive vaccine research, especially for diseases which had little chance of recouping outlay. That prompted governments and NGO to seek an alternative. The formation of CEPI has been a paradigm shift, said Burrow. Before that, everything was completely reactive. CEPI's strength isn't only funding research, but it's also pairing small, innovative biotech firms which might establish drug companies. The coalition funded efforts to develop vaccines against Lassa fever, Zika and Napa, and even prepared for Disease X, the World Health Organization, for any unknown infection that may emerge, precisely the situation should arrive for the new coronavirus. CEPI-funded scientists also worked on vaccines against MERS, a coronavirus spotted in 2013, and closely related to SARS, both of which caused pneumonia. So when the first reports of severe pneumonia caused by a new coronavirus began trickling out of China, CEPI was ready to action. But it, too, needs a steady supply of funds. Several estimates $350 million will be required for the next few months to meet the accelerated time rates of creating a COVID-19 within 12 to 18 months. Given all the consuming nature of the current pandemic, there's a good reason to believe CEPI will get the money it needs. From there, it's a matter of seeing which vaccine options makes it through the many steps to eventual regulatory approval. When one does, the final challenge will be to rapidly scale up manufacturing to produce millions of doses to exacting medical standards. All these steps are hard enough when there isn't an outbreak, says De Groot, and no one can say how the pandemic will affect supply chains and labour pools related to vaccine development. It's also possible that by the time the vaccine is ready for late-stage clinical trials, there won't be enough viruses circulating to provide a firm answer about its efficacy. So, how realistic is the 12 to 18-month timeline? It's a fairly aspirational, says Salville. It's based on everything going well and faster than ever progress through each step in the process. In other words, it's a long shot. The teams making the vaccine candidates and know that every minute counts. Broderick says the rising number of cases and deaths rattle through her head from the moment she wakes up. She and others have doubts that we will eventually have vaccine against COVID-19. It's just too early to say which candidate will be ready first or what the problem may hit along the way. It could be a bumpy ride, says Poland. We're building a plane and as we're flying. Okay, there you go. Now, how to make it step by step? It's a race against time to develop a vaccine amid a pandemic. Each step detailed below usually takes months and years. The Ebola vaccine broke records by being ready in 5 years. The hope to develop one for new coronavirus is unprecedented in 12 to 18 months. step one, develop a prototype. This usually takes years, depending on the technique used. With the current coronavirus outbreak, companies have prototypes within hours thanks to new technologies which identify which bits of the virus might be used for a vaccine. Animal trials. These are primarily to demonstrate the safety and test the immune response generated by the vaccine. In some cases, this stage can be skipped altogether, but their results may be safety trade-offs. Phase 1 human trials. There are the first steps and tests of people, usually involving 20 to 80 individuals, are used to demonstrate safety and ensure any side effects aren't too severe. Phase 2 human trials requires larger groups of people, is used to test the efficacy, and some vaccines can skip from here to regulatory approval when urgent needed. Stage 3. At this stage, a new vaccine is tested on hundreds to thousands of people to clearly evaluate the efficacy and safety. Regulatory approval. After examining clinical trial evidence, regulatory bodies determine whether the vaccine can be licensed for public use. This may come with the requirement that follow-up safety data be gathered. Mass production. At this point, manufacturing for the vaccine can be ramped up under strict quality control and consistency standards. Public access. When the new vaccine becomes available, governments and public health authorities have determined which groups to get it first. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.